Welcome back to our latest episode of West Coast XC. I'm your host, Ken Martinez. And if you could click on subscribe here on YouTube, or if you're listening on Apple Podcast or Spotify, if you wouldn't mind following, that'd be awesome. This week's episode, we have three guests. Our first guest is Ahmed Mohammed. He is a professional athlete for Hoka Naz Elite. He ran at West Salem High School here. I live in Beaverton, Oregon, so I remember him very well when he was at West Salem. Later ran at Boise State, Florida State, and now is at with Hoka. And he'll be running the 10 this Saturday at San Juan Capistrano at J. Sarah High School in Orange County, California. And so we talked to him about this weekend's race and about his like origin story on how he became a runner and all the wonderful things that have happened to him as a professional athlete. You'll really enjoy that. The next, we talk to Jason Fields. He is the sports information director at J. Sarah Catholic High School out in Orange County. And I was kind of curious, like, why J. Sarah? Why is J. Sarah the host of this huge meet, the 10? And he kind of gives us some background information about the meet and about J. Sarah and why they use their track. And then last, we meet up with our old friend, Todd Takubo, who is a photographer in Northern California in the Bay Area. And we were both at the Dublin Distance Fiesta, and we kind of recap all the what's called the Sombrero races and go over the highlights from the meet. And so stay tuned. Next will be Ahmed. We're happy to have here a Hoka Northern Arizona elite athlete, Ahmed Mohammed. Ahmed, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I really appreciate you coming on. You're getting ready to race the 10, the 10,000 meter race on Saturday night in San Juan Capistrano at J. Sarah Catholic High School. And it's done by Sound Running. For those people that live in California, that's where it is, J. Sarah in San Juan Capistrano. For those people that can't, it's on Flow Track. Check it out. And I want to ask you, how are you feeling about Saturday?
Yeah, I'm quite excited. I think so this will be my third 10K on the track. I tried to get away from collegiate running without running any 10Ks. And then at a conference, Bob Brayman, my coach at FSU, was like, you got to do the conference 10, and ended up winning that. So that was my first 10K. It was 3 years ago, and I did another one 2 years ago. Last year, I paced, and this year I feel at a lot different level and a lot different place than previous years. And so quite excited to be, you know, part of a field like that and just chase after fast times and compete with some of the best.
I was there last year and it looked like you had the best time pacing.
Ah, yeah, it was incredible. It was a lot of fun. I think oftentimes when you're competing, there is so much pressure that sometimes we apply onto ourselves. And so anytime you get to pace, you kind of like that pressure just falls apart a little bit, you know, falls down from your shoulders. And that's exactly how I felt. I felt light. I felt I had fun, and I was fit obviously back then a year ago, but a lot fitter than last year this time for sure. And I think I'm excited to just go for the next 5K as well.
Yeah, you looked super fit. It looked like if you wanted to, you could have probably just kept going. You were just having it. I mean, halfway through, did you do a 5K or did you?
Yes.
I did 5K. Yeah, you look great. Like, oh, you can just keep going.
I think maybe I would feel it around 8K, but I'm hopeful that we got those last 2K sorted out for this one, hopefully, and be able to be there when it matters the most. I think the last really 2K is the most important part of a 10K racing, like in that setting where you're going so fast and you know, you have to kind of shut it off for a while. But I guess the last bit is when your legs start, you know, feeling it, your body start feeling it, and then your competition starts trying to get faster so that they can pass the time, the light. So
yeah, like I said, I was there last year. It was such an incredible finish, and so many
men
made the time. It was so incredible. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing you race on
Thank
Saturday.
You.
Always
Thank
looking forward to watch you race. I'm always rooting for you.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you,
welcome. Dude. And a lot of, you know, I go to a lot of high school meets, take pictures. I coached high school. So I kind of want to know, I think our listeners and viewers want to know, what is your origin story to being a cross-country track runner instead of doing another sport? How did you get into the sport?
Yeah, when I first came to the States, landing in New York, that was the first city of the States that we landed in, and took a flight from Frankfurt. I had like a vivid dream almost of becoming a professional soccer player, but that I don't think I fully I don't think I chased it long enough because eighth grade, my PE teacher, Ms. Maycomber, recommended I go out for the track team. And I was like, you know what? It could be just another thing. So I was doing both soccer and track together. I would do the track practice and then right after that, put my soccer cleats on and play some soccer for another hour, hour and a half. And then I would walk home afterwards. And it definitely was a lot of growth for me. But eventually, running allowed me to find a community, especially being here. At that point, I was only here for about a year when I found running, and so it helped me kind of fit in a little bit more as well, right? I was the kind of fast kid around the school, and that gave me a little bit of attention. I feel like where people were nicer to me because of it, right? And so I kind of utilized it to hopefully, I hope I did utilize it to help others as well, and in just finding friends and fitting in, because I feel like it's quite hard, especially middle school, to fit into the American society. But
Yes, it's hard for
in
Americans to fit into
yeah,
social society.
everybody. Well, the
Yeah.
thing is, I feel like when you come from the other side of the world and your English is already
It's
suffering,
much harder. No, it's much harder for you guys. Oh
yeah,
my
so
gosh, yes.
it felt much heavier. But I feel
Yeah.
like the better I got in running, the more I realized that I could just be myself, work hard, and I think I would basically attract what I want. I would attract the attention that I need and the people that I want to be friends with. And I ended up being friends with some of the coolest and nicest human beings. And I think that's what I love about running too, right? But yeah, high school, it's a great experience. I think I had about around four high school coaches throughout my experience. And so I wasn't the most consistent. I was consistently out front, but I never won a track title in high school. Came pretty close my junior year. And I won two cross country titles, and I think that was kind of like a little bit of a I guess foreshadowing of how good I could be in the longer distances in the future.
Then you go to Boise State and Florida State, and I did some research, and I'm hope I'm right. I think you ran five NCAA cross country championships.
That is correct. I think I am one of only seven, I think, athletes to have ever done that because of COVID, right? I qualified with my team in the first 3 years with Boise State, and then qualified individually my fourth time, and then the last time was my last year at Florida State with my team. So yes, five times, five national championships.
And I think that your last time, I remember watching it, you finished 20th. I mean, every time, I'm my backdrop here, this is where I'm in Beaverton, Oregon. You might remember this place. And so I'm always rooting for our kids from Oregon. And so when you
Sure.
finish
My family
20th,
lives in Beaverton, actually.
what's that?
My family lives in Beaverton,
Yes,
so.
I know. I know your brother.
Salah,
Yes,
yes.
of course. Yes. In fact, I would see you before you signed with Hoka. You were running around Beaverton. It's
Yes, sir.
that's that's tough when you're not you have to run these races where you pay for your own way and your own, because I think you were going to races because I watch a lot of stuff on online live, and I see you running it, you had to pay your own way during that time. That's rough.
Yeah, it was definitely not an easy time, but I feel like those hard times shaped my I guess perspective in a sense of being more grateful. And I have a lot of gratitude for the life I live right now. I think when you've seen the other side, it's a lot easier to appreciate what you've got, right? And so I am honestly at content where I'm at right now, and we're just trying to master this thing right now. That's all it is. It really nothing else.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job of mastering it. I went to the 2023 USATF Championships in Eugene. I had a media pass. I was at the finish line, and I'm using my memory, but gosh, I really felt, if not the last lap, second to last lap, you're going to make the US team. You were like in
Oh yeah.
second or third. Was it the last lap or second to last
But it
lap? You were,
was like 250 meters to go is when I
right, the
lost.
last lap. Yeah, it was the backstretch, right. And again, like I said, I root for our Oregon athletes, and I was just like, "Oh my gosh, you're gonna make the team!" And that, had you just signed with Hoka, or were you still unattached?
Right before, yeah. So I signed with Hoka right after that, like maybe about a month and a half, 2 months later.
Okay, so you're still on your own.
Yeah, I was in Flagstaff. I quit my day job, moved up to Flagstaff, and was up here for about a month, excuse me, for about a month. And I was able to just really put my head down and use my savings account to try to survive for another month. And I did. And honestly, that was absolutely what I needed. Was I feel like a lot of times when we have goals, it's a lot easier to be like half in, and like the other half is kind of a little bit comfortable, right? Like the other half for me was at home, you know, I was working at a job that was paying me decent. But this half of me that was in was desiring success. And I feel like what I did was I walked away from everything else and I said all my eggs in one basket and let's go out to Flagstaff. And that's what I did for a month. And honestly, that was probably, if I didn't make that decision, I don't think I'd be where I'm at today.
Oh,
So
wow.
that is it. There were probably about 100 different decisions in my lifetime that if they haven't happened or that I didn't, if I hadn't made them, I wouldn't be where I'm at. One of them is my parents moving us all the way across the world, right? Like, so absolutely. There are so many close calls, man.
Oh, I tell you, I was so excited for you. And then I texted your brother. And you know, I have two brothers myself. And so he did the brother thing, which was like, super excited for you. Then he also kind of gave a little jab to the chest, like, hey, he just didn't have enough for the last 200 meters. And I was like, okay.
No, he's Salah is he has an old soul. He's only 19, but he's really a friend of mine. You know, he's more than just a brother to me, and we talk about a lot of things. And I try to mentor him with all the things that I've learned over the years, well, the last like decade. And he's got a mindset that's a lot critical thinker. That's what he is, and so I accept all his criticism.
It was like a, it was more of a joke, but it was a good, it was a brother thing. It was like, oh yeah, I know what brothers are
I
like.
hit a wall. He said what I would have said.
So you go, you sign with Hoka at NAS Elite, and you're doing amazing. You've won two USATF road championships, 5K, 8K. You made the US team in cross country. Tell us how that's going.
Yeah, it's I mentioned the word mastery just a little bit ago, or mastering it, and I think the years leading up to my contract with NAZ Elite was kind of a year of learning, years of learning and kind of testing the limits and seeing like what we're capable of at that point with or without a support. When we got to Hoka and I saw everything that I have around me, whether it's great coaches, great teammates, and a great location like Flagstaff to train, and I have my beautiful wife supporting me here, and my family behind me, and a good amount of friends who are supporting me, it no longer became about survival. It became trying to thrive at this, right? And part of that is just trying to get everything down. And so right now, mindset shifted, in my opinion, within the last year, mindset shifted from, you know, being sixth, seventh, eighth, and, you know, races to trying to go for the win. Now, again, that doesn't guarantee me a win every single time I try it, but the mindset is that there is nobody to be afraid of, and we're just as good as anybody else. And that's where we are right now. It's just really living in the moment and running hard and having fun along the way as well.
That's awesome. And so you have gone to your, where you're from, the Somali region of Ethiopia. And I
Yes,
think
sir.
the last 2 years you have put on a youth races for the kids that were just like you when you were growing up. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so actually, two races in 1 year. One of them was a lot bigger than the other. But I went back 2023. You know, when I was working remotely for about 20 hours a week, and so I was just training up in altitude in Ethiopia. And I just remember, you know, this is around the transition period where I didn't have a contract, and I just got done with being part of the Florida State team, and so I didn't have any support at that point, and so I just remember, you know, stressing a little bit about, you know, buying shoes and, you know, investing money into running and, you know, travel round trip to Ethiopia and all of that. And then I got to Ethiopia and I saw about 70 Somali elite athletes, I would say, running, you know, fast times and training hard all year round, and don't get that many opportunities to compete. Me at the time, I had March 4th was the ca on the calendar to run the Sound Running 10K. But those guys, I would ask them, and I'd be like, "Hey, like, when's your next race?" And they'd be like, Like, what do you mean? I don't know. Like, I'm just training right now, and a lot of that had to do with lack of opportunity. And so, while I'm, at the level I'm at right now with the support I have with Hoka, and the running community got behind me with good amount of almost 20 two almost 2K in $2,000 in GoFundMe page that we raised. And it's just a matter of trying to really make the most out of it to make sure that I'm not the only one benefiting from my success, and that I'm not the only one benefiting from, any strides that I've taken this last year, year and a half, 2 years. And so, the race that we put together in my hometown this last December is probably the biggest race that they've ever had. And I think pretty close, almost all of Ethiopia, I could say, but I think obviously Ethiopian championships is a little bit different. It's just Ethiopian championships is obviously for the elites, and it's kind of really region centered rather than where I come from, which is the Somali region of Ethiopia. And so we had about 250 athletes participate and coming from five different regions that Somali people inhabit, meaning some Somalis coming from Kenya, some Somalis coming from Ethiopia, some obviously where we were hosting the race, some Somalis coming from Mogadishu and Somalia, others coming from the northern side in Somaliland, and then we had Somali people coming from Djibouti. So we had basically showdown of all the Somali elite athletes. One specific nation, Somaliland, which is a country that's really not recognized by anybody in this world, but they got their own precedent currency, the whole government system, and they ended up winning and taking it home for the team
That's
title.
great.
So they ended up taking it home, and we had, I think, over $6,000 in prize money, which is for a lot of those youth who are training year round, it's definitely a life changing for sure. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was. I was very passionate about it, man. It's something I hope to continue, and that is hopefully this year we'll do another one. I may not be there for it, obviously, because of the tight schedule of just racing this year with so many opportunities to make a US team. But it's about giving back, and it's just about really trying to be involved a little bit and not just be self-centered on my running career.
Well, that you can check that out on YouTube. It's an amazing. I've watched it over the weekend and super impressed. I'm so excited for you.
Thank
Doing
you.
amazing things.
Thank
I'm excited for your race on Saturday. I'll be there to take pictures of it. And you've just been a great mentor to the kids here too in Oregon when you were at Boise State and an older West Salem athlete also. I remember the night meet when you were a senior and all my kids were hanging out with you and stuff like that. So you're awesome. We'd go to the NXR meet, you'd be there, and you just you're
No, it's
great. The kids really
thank you.
appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, hey, like I said, I think this is a discussion friend of mine I had a couple of weeks ago, actually, is, my running career is very much could be as short as anybody else's. And it's never guaranteed how long of a success you could have or how much of a success you could have. And I think one of the legacies that if I could leave any legacy, it would be to try to have as much impact as I can on others as well along the way. And that's it's just, I think something that we all need to do. And obviously, you being a coach, that is, in my opinion, coaches, teachers are honestly changing this world. And I have a lot of my, I have a lot of credit of my success for my coaches, the ones that are coaching me now, as well as the ones that started coaching me all the way back in eighth grade. So.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. And I sure appreciate you taking the time out and talking with us. And best of luck on Saturday. We'll be watching. If you're can watch on FlowTrack, or if you live in California, Southern California, you can watch it. I talked to the Jay Serra, Sports Information Director. Tickets are going fast. Hurry,
Yeah,
hurry, hurry.
I heard.
So,
I heard. Should be fun, man. It'll be fun. I'm here to entertain the people and run fast and compete with the best. So let's do that.
all right. Well, we'll wish you the best and watch you on Saturday. Have a great season. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We are joined today by Jason Fields. He is the sports information director at a J. Serra High School, J. Serra Catholic High School in San Juan Capistrano in Orange County, California. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Kenneth, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for being on here. I'm excited because I'm going to go to the 10 this weekend. It's located at your high school. And for those people that may not be familiar with the 10, it's called the 10 because World-class distance runners are trying to get the 10,000 meter mark for the World Championships this summer in Tokyo. Last year, it was for the Olympic Games in Paris. It's kind of elusive to get the 10,000. If you don't, you know, you can't do it every week. But it's more than that, right, Jason? What's going on this weekend at Jay Serra at the track meet?
Yeah, so obviously the spotlight is the 10 and those races there. But this year, we are, excited to be expanding. The meet is now split into a high school. There's a high school portion. So the day will start with high school competition. And there are heats of the 800, the 1600, the 3200, where high school athletes will all come together and participate there. And then there's also a night meet with elite high school runners as well, too, that is kind of interspliced with the professional runners as well. So it's a great distance celebration, if you will, of high school and obviously professional as well, too.
I went there last year, and there's like a second 10,000 meter race that's equally as exciting. I mean, Drew Hunter ran great, and that kind of gave him a little bit of some juice for the Olympic trials. He almost made the team, even though he ran in the second race. So that second race is pretty exciting too.
Oh yeah. Again, two races on the men's and the women's side in terms of the 10K. What they've cultivated, what we've cultivated here, just so much excitement. Obviously a 10K, you're running 25 laps. It's a long race, right? But there's so much excitement and strategy. You can see the runners and how they kind of draft off each other and sort of their mental state as they're kind of going through. It's a really, really cool experience to kind of see it live there.
Right. And then when those athletes make the time, I mean, we're not talking, these are not the best U.S. athletes. These are athletes coming from all over the world.
Oh, yeah. this particular meet has just been a proving ground and then an elite proving ground for a lot of the top runners in the world. I mean, there have been more world record holders set here, Olympic medalists. I think there's been 34 athletes that have won 34 medals in the Olympics here and 49 world championship medals that have run since the inception of the 10 back in 2021.
And that kind of brings me to my next question about 2021. How did Jay Serra get involved with the Sound Running 10?
So one of the things about Jay Serra, which makes it such a great place to work and kind of be around, there's a real entrepreneurial type spirit here at this school, doing things that have not been done before and trying things that are, maybe different than off the normal path. Obviously, 2021, if we go back in time, the world was a different place at that point. A lot of things going on. COVID obviously was a big part of our world. And having meets was very difficult. There weren't a lot of places where you could have a lot of people kind of come together. Jay Serra kind of took a different approach than where some others said, we can't do that. We want to keep everybody, kind of away. Jay Serra said, hey, we want to keep things open and keep the doors open. And that extended into their athletic world as well, too. A lot of high school events still went on here. Sound Running, they wanted to start the 10. So they looked to Jay Serra, and Jay Serra said, hey, come on in. Let's do this. The track was a young track at that point, and really wanted to kind of put it out there that this is a place where distance running is valued. And so since 2021, that year, there was only two races, 15 or the 10 for the men and the 10 for the women. And obviously it's grown since then. 2023 was the first year that we had high school athletes participating in the races too. And it's been a great partnership since then. I mean, it's just been fantastic. And every year it's grown and grown and grown. The community here has grown with it. It's become one of our biggest athletic competitions that we have here in terms of the amount of people that we get. We're expecting definitely sell out crowds here on Saturday night. So it's grown organically, and it's grown into a way in which even the high school athletes are very excited now. We see a lot of social media posts about kids that are like, hey, I made it onto this race in the 10, and we can't wait to run here and see the professional athletes as well.
And is there something special about the track in terms of like the 10,000, you kind of need like perfect conditions. Is that something that the track offers out there in San Juan Capistrano?
It's obviously a track is, it's a piece of ground that people run on. But I think the environment really does, in this case, help. Obviously, we're tucked away here in South Orange County, right along the coast there as you start to get toward the beach. But we get, and one thing that we've been blessed with is really good weather here. Mm-hmm. We're expecting another great weather night. Even today, it's about 80 degrees outside. Really, really nice day. And we've had great conditions here. Usually around the time that the pros are running, you're talking low 60s, maybe high 50s, not usually very windy, just very good distance running conditions. And I think a lot of people that compete here, that's one thing that we hear a lot of, is that it's usually really, really good conditions here. The environment is good. You know, Jesse Williams, who sound running, he puts the meet on, the head coach, the cross country and track coach here at JCR, Chase Frazier. They have really done a phenomenal job, and they get a lot of credit. They deserve a lot of credit for creating an atmosphere here that inspires people. They have the wave lights or something that here. You don't really see it a lot in high school competition, but it is a really good tool for the average person who might not know what's going on, and they hear people yelling paces and times and this and that. You can visually see where a runner is compared to if they're on a record pace or if they've fallen behind or whatever the case may be. So it allows you, as, you know, as a spectator, to kind of see what's going on. It's little touches like that. You know, obviously having an announcer there, you know, maybe having a little music there and having people that are knowledgeable about the sport to let everybody kind of know what's happening. All these little touches and all these things have just worked wonders. And it's created, you know, something that I think is going to be a fixture on the calendar for a long time.
Well, that's wonderful. I was a longtime high school coach. I'm a high school teacher, so I think about high school athletes a lot. And my question is, I would imagine maybe even Thursday, but for sure on Friday, you'll get these, you know, athletes from all over the world that will kind of want to go on the track and do some striders and do some light running. And you're in the midst of track season, so you have your track athletes there. Do the JCR kids get a chance to see some of these athletes warming up the day before or in the end part of the week?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. You will start to see some of them later this week. Obviously, the kids are, you know, for the most part, they're still in school. But when they do get out for practice, they may see a couple on the track. And Saturday is usually the day when there's a lot of co-mingling going on with the professional athletes and the high school kids. And that's one of the things that has been really, really special to see. Obviously, professional athletes got a lot going on, right? They're trying to qualify. They're trying to do different things. And a lot of times for high school kids, this is like, oh my goodness, I've heard this name. I've seen this person in world championships, Olympics, and now they're running on my track. And those athletes have been very gracious. You see a lot of pictures. You see advice being given. The athletes really taking the time to, you know, give their knowledge back. Obviously, at some point, they were in the same shoes as a lot of the kids that are here, you know, at JCR and the other high schools in the area. And so they're giving back that knowledge. It's fantastic. And you can see it there. So a big shout out to a lot of those athletes who are definitely invested in the sport and giving back their time to the high school kids as well, too.
Yeah, that's a cool experience for high school kids, especially if they're, you know, knowledgeable of I mean, I'm sure JCR kids are really knowledgeable of who's who. And then they're right there. Last year, Nico Young almost won it. And of course, he's famous in the Southern section at Park. And I was in the infield and the kids were just, you know, they were so excited to be near him.
I mean, he is obviously he's a name that a lot of people in these parts know. Newberry Park High School accomplished more things than we have time to talk about. Obviously, even last year, we had Sadie Englehart.
Right. In 15.
Who obviously is a name that people are very familiar with here in the high school world, Ventura High School. She was a junior last year and she raced in the pro 1500 meters. And not only did she win that race, yes, but she broke her own state 1500 meter yes record right here on this track. She's a record breaker pretty much every time she steps out on right a course or a track. But seeing that live, for a lot of our high school athletes here at JCR and just people in general, it was just magic, absolutely magic.
And so you said earlier that you're expecting a sellout crowd. If you live in, Southern California, San Diego, Orange County, Can you get tickets online, or do you go? How do you get tickets?
Yeah, so tickets are online. You can go to the 10 website and purchase it there. Again, the meet is broken into two sessions. So there is a high school day session as well too. So you have an opportunity, if let's say you come for that meet, you can buy tickets for the daytime, and then you can also get your ticket right then and there for the night session as well too. So I would say if you're a fan of distance running and just want to have a great experience, you know, come see both. I mean, you'll see some great high school competition in the daytime, very, very strong high school competition at night. And then obviously the cherry on top of the sundae is watching those pros actually do it, what they do as well too. So
my site's called West Coast XC, which means we love to cover Washington and Oregon, and they're maybe too far away from attending. Can you watch it?
There is a stream. You can go on the 10 website and they have a link that should take you to where you can stream the races as well too. So I believe FlowTrack will be.
FlowTrack. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yep.
All right. One last question is, what is Jay Sarah most excited about this weekend? You might have already told us already, but what's what are you most excited about?
I would say this yearly celebration, which has become a tradition now, of just high level distance running. You get an opportunity to really see, and Jay Sarah has built a name in the running community as a school that has produced such quality distance running. Our girls cross country team has won 4 California state championships in a row. They're going for an Orange County record next year. But distance running has become such a big part of our identity here at Jay Sarah. And to have a race or have races in which you have, you know, world renowned runners, obviously renowned high school athletes as well too. It's exciting. Continuing to build this into what I would consider to be one of the premier meets on the high school calendar here in California. I mean, we're getting to the point now, first into the first month of the track and field season. And now you're starting to look ahead toward, you know, April, where there's some big meets here in California, obviously the biggest one being the Arcadia Invitational, which is in 2 weeks. So a lot of your top runners are now starting to get into their seasons. And this is a type of meet where you start to see maybe a big first performance to kind of let everybody know, hey, I'm ready to go, and I'm going to be a factor as we get to the middle and then obviously toward the state championships here in California. So we're excited to be able to have the platform for those athletes to show what they can do, and just excited for the community to come and see the facilities here at Jay Sarah. I may be a little biased because I do work here, but these are world-class facilities, and, you know, so much so that these runners think so highly of it that they come here and they do very well here. This track is, you know, we were, you know, Coach Frazier and I were talking a little while ago, and I said, hey, we got to check and see what's underneath the track here to make sure everything is okay, because we just have such fast times and performances. Nice. So,
well, I'm coming down. I'm looking forward to the meet. I went last year. It is a great facility. The weather was awesome. I'm from Oregon, but right now we're experiencing really nice weather in Oregon, by the way. Okay. I think Oregon's weather.
Jay Sarah will be up there, I believe, next week. The Oregon.
Oh, yeah, for the Oregon Relays. That's right.
So we'll be there. I'll be in attendance as well for that, too. So looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I'll let you get back to getting ready for the meet and other events happening at Jay Sarah. So, Jason, thanks a lot. Go Lions.
Yeah, thank you. Go Lions.
And welcome back to Todd Takubo. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Ken. How are you? Good to see you again.
Todd, in our first few episodes back in November and December, and so it's good to have you back. You were at the Dublin Distance Fiesta for 2 days taking photos.
Yes, I was, and I'm still crawling through them.
Yeah, he took a lot of photos. You can see it on his Instagram account. I'll put it on the screen here, so you can go check it out. Go to his bio and download those photos and make sure you give them photo cred. I like to talk about, and by the way, Todd takes pictures, you know, in the Bay Area, sometimes in Northern California. So if you're lucky and you see him there, you'll get photos. So it's, thank you for all your wonderful work up in California, down in California for me.
Yes. And I have West Coast XC stickers if you ever find me to meet.
Yes. Yes. That is awesome. And we're going to talk about the Dublin Distance Fiesta. We're going to just talk about the sombrero races. Todd, can you explain what that means, sombrero races?
So the Dublin Distance Fiesta, kind of because it's a fiesta, it's kind of thematic. Their top end races are what they call the sombrero races. And the people that actually win them, they have this assortment of sombreros. And it's kind of one of the prizes. And actually, even throughout the day, the announcers will talk about the person who is holding the sombrero, which is the person who has the fastest time for that particular race, like whether it be 1600 girls or 1600 boys. So it fits with the theme, but it's also pretty cool in the fact that it just adds something a little bit different to the race. And you'll see in some of the pictures the people that win the very final race, which they call the sombrero heat. They do the big intros and everything. Part of the award is they take photos with the guys and the girls wearing a sombrero.
And they're custom made too. They're not just like generic.
Yeah, they custom decorate all of them.
They're
first
wonderful.
Day at the 4x8, there's basically this huge bucket of about 20 or so of them.
Yeah. Well, let's go through the 800. The girls 800 was won by Hannah Thompson of Montgomery. And then Kyle, how do you say your name? Honart?
Yeah.
Prospect was next at 211. And Sabrina Zanetto of St. Francis was also at 211. Those are really good times. 210, 211, 211. I guess the thing we should talk about is Hannah Thompson is known for the 3200, running really great 5,000 meter times in cross country. I'm guessing maybe not. Maybe this is a new world for her. Maybe this is what she's always known. And I just don't know this.
Well, I mean, for high school, she's in our, being here out of Newark, she's in our division. We've seen her every year since she was a freshman in cross country. She's fantastic. And I think at high school at any distance, and I know 800 is kind of middle distance, but you know, she has speed, and she looked like she was having a great time. She looked like she was really having fun. And I think that was part of it too.
Yeah. I was there at the meet with my wife, and she took like pictures near where you were at the finish line. And she got some great pictures of her smiling really far away from the finish line tape. It was just awesome photos of her just totally happy and great.
I think she easily could have been below 210. She was clear of the field on the home stretch and just had a good old time coming in.
Yeah. On the boys' side, you had Lucas Alberts of Jesuit, ran 153.08. Hugh Heyer of McClatchy, 153.87. And then Mac Aldi of Carmel, 153.90. That's pretty close. Those that all in the 153s.
Yeah.
I want to make a note here, Todd. I didn't realize this, but Lucas and Hugh, not only they're from Sacramento, but they're both just sophomores.
Yeah. The San Joaquin section has some speed here.
Yeah, these guys will be around for a bit. And I want to make a shout out to Mac Aldi. I went to the winter championships at Arcadia and saw him have this incredible race where he tumbled at the finish line. And then I was at New York and he was there too. So I'm not, Mac, I'm not stalking you, but I've seen you like three times in the last little over a month. But
it's pretty amazing how far a lot of these guys are going, especially in the winter now. I know Hannah Thompson went back east also for a couple of races.
So. She went to she's New Balance. I'm sure she went to Boston for the New Balance. That was the week before.
Right.
Yeah. So that was exciting. And then in the 1600, Eleanor Raker, she's from Galena High School. That's in Reno.
Yeah.
And she's very familiar to the Bay Area. She comes a lot to those to meets to the Bay Area. She ran 452.58. Chloe Della Torre ran 453. And Lily Montilla of Los Lomos, 454. That's pretty close, too, for 1600.
Yeah.
It looked like Eleanor Raker was just going to run away with this thing and be, you know, she had blown out the field for the first 800. And then Chloe caught up with her and took the lead with 100 meters. I was at the 100 with 100 meters to go, and Chloe was a little bit ahead of Eleanor.
Yeah. By the time they got to the finish line, it wasn't close. Eleanor stretched it. Not close in the picture in time, you know, it's less than a second, which, you know, we all know.
It's a long distance. Yeah.
It's a good size gap, but yeah, Eleanor Raker, she really separated in the last 100. She was pretty free and clear at the end.
And then in the boys race, you had Aiden Stephanopoulos running a 4:10.46. That's, you know, for me, we have Oregon just started their season last week. I still think this is early, pretty early in the season. 4:10 is really fast. And it wasn't exactly a still evening. It was kind of breezy, and there's like some kind of small storm was trying to get through there. And
the, the backstretch in Dublin is kind of famous for, there's a bit of a headwind. There's traditionally a bit of a headwind, especially as it's towards the evening.
And then land in Petrie of Menlo ran 410, also 410.79. That's pretty close. Miles Cook of Sacred Heart Cathedral ran 415.23. Shout out to Miles. I saw him also at New York City. Mm-hmm. The eight in land in 410, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they were pretty close, both of them were smiling and kind of having a really good time as they're coming across the tape there as well. So that they could probably dip below 410 pretty easily, running all the way through. And Benjamin Bowie from Crystal Springs was right behind Miles Cook, and all four of those guys are also out of the same CCS division here as well. So that'll be interesting when it comes time for California State to see which of them tries to go through there.
Is it only top three?
At least it's top three and then times. Okay. I think from sectionals to state, mm-hmm. It's usually pretty tight. That's one of the challenges with CIF for state is that all the schools run together.
Right.
And it's very different from cross country. But so there's very few spots. And by the time you get, with those four guys, I hope there's a way that all four of them get through, because the four of them were it was a great race. Miles Cook and Benjamin Bowie led for the first half of the race, I think.
Yeah.
And then it was the pack of four of them. So it's a great race.
Landon's dad was taking pictures next to me, and he, mm-hmm. when it was over, he has three children, a daughter and two sons.
Yeah.
And he said, well, because that's Landon's senior year. He goes, all of my kids have finished second. They've never finished higher than second. So
Landon, not all of these guys have had a great running season from cross country until now. So, and it'll be really cool to see how they do towards the end of the season.
And then it gets dark. It's the 3200. It's getting, I'm from Oregon and I'm going to complain. It was kind of cold. It was cold. I didn't prepare for that. I was cold. I'm embarrassed to say that. I should know better. But so we kind of have a grudge match, because this doesn't happen very often, I imagine. Hannah Thompson won the 800. Mm. Eleanor Raker won the 1600. Probably not very often that you can get two sombreros in one meet.
Right.
There's only three events. Well, there's the medleys and the relays, but it's only three individual meets, races. So it's not like you can run the 400 and win it. And they ran together for a while. Hannah Thompson won at 10:21.77. Eleanor Raker, 10:26.83. Yeah. Hannah's teammate, Amare Lacefield, ran at Montgomery in 10:39.99.
Yeah. It was the early part of the race. It was kind of what you expect. They went out fast, the two of them, and they kind of, I think Hannah Thompson kind of turned it into kind of a four lap race. And by the last 800, it wasn't even close.
Yeah, it was, she was by herself. Yeah. So that was impressive. I know this, she has the record there at 10:14, but that 800 probably, that takes a lot out of you. So it's kind of a hard double. And then on the boys side, Eli Fitchin Young of Santa Cruz, won at 8:56.43. Aiden came back and ran 8:57. Isaac Abbott of Jesuit, 8:57 also. And then I want to mention Yusuf Buran of Piedmont Hills, 8:58. There's four kids under nine, which isn't, that's, I'm going to be at Arcadia in a few weeks. That's a, people go crazy in the stands. But that was, actually, if you look at my pictures, Eli Fitchin Young really was ahead by quite a bit. But if you look at the finish times, they're not too far apart, the four kids.
But, and again, you're looking at someone like Aiden running a double.
That's hard.
Almost pulling off a double as well. It was pretty impressive. I was actually surprised that so many of the kids here ran doubles out of sombrero
races. Yeah, I was seeing not just the kids in the sombrero races, but we're talking that there'd be like three heats of the faster races where you kind of like bang, bang, bang. I would see the kids in the 16 and the 8, which is pretty close together. And I saw 8 and 3200 meter kids. That's pretty close together.
Yeah. I'm culling through a lot of my photos, I'm starting to see a lot of the same faces.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
It's amazing that the number of kids double at races of that speed at any level, really. It's pretty challenging.
I thought Aiden ran a pretty smart 3200. He was always kind of just lurking, and he wasn't like trying to he didn't expend a lot of energy doing, trying to stay up with the leaders and because there were people in the front that didn't really make it. I mean, they finished, but they didn't run as well as they probably expected to. And it doesn't, you know, that they hype those races, man. So those kids are fired up.
Yeah, so it's like a lot of those races, they go out so hot for the first lap, and I think for some of the kids, once the adrenaline wears off and they're towards the back of the pack and they look at them, it's hard to keep it up.
Yeah, and some of those kids that are doing that are outstanding national level athletes too. Yeah. So it's not easy. Friday night, I was not there. I didn't see this. 4x8 was won by Compolindo at 9:32, mm-hmm. and then the Bellarmine boys at Bellarmine College Prep ran 7:58.
Yep.
2:08. It's cool to see under eight, you know, and the 4x8.
Yeah, those are fun. 4x8 is one of my favorite events. The first handoff in a really competitive race is fantastic just because the handoff zone is just absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. So it was a good race. It was both of those races. It wasn't after maybe the second handoff, I would say it probably wasn't super competitive. Mm-hmm. In the 4x8, should note Crystal Springs, Benjamin Bowie ran the second leg and he made up. God, he must have made up almost somewhere between 7 seconds or something like that. Yeah, he made a huge gap. It was a really impressive second leg. So strategy wise for coaches out there, think about it. Put the fast kid in the second leg so you don't lose too much distance on the second handoff.
Yeah, I've had 4x8 teams that are like, I have two really studly guys that can run in under 2 minutes. Yeah. And I have like these 204 kids, five kids. I would put my two 158 kids, go bang, bang, and force the 205 and 204 kids to run a 201. Because now they don't want to let down their team. And I always had a hunch they could do it. It's just, they were like sophomores, you know, boys, you know, sophomores that are like, I'm so scared. So that is a strategy I have used before when you have two really strong runners and then you have, you know, two at ones that you just hope that the pressure of the moment will, you know, bolt them into the competition.
Yeah, a little bit of adrenaline never hurt anyone.
Yeah. People get into it too. The fans get into it. You know, the teammates. I have lots of photos of teammates just screaming on the side there. It's really beautiful, fun. DMR is the last race.
Yep.
And the same teams, Compolindo girls won it again. 12:25. The Bellarmine College Prep boys won it again at 10:32. The girls won it by quite a bit, but the boys had a little bit of competition. I think it was with St. Francis.
Right. Yeah, St. Francis is pretty close, and St. Francis and Bellarmine, they're rivals in a lot of other sports as well, traditionally on the peninsula. But I think, again, showcasing Bellarmine's depth for middle distance, they had a really strong cross-country season, too. They were the clear winners in the 4x8, so it's not super surprising they could deal with it with the DMR as well.
Yeah, you know, Jesuit was, you know, one of the strongest teams in the Northern California made NX. And a lot of those guys ran earlier in the day, ran some really hard races, and you could tell that it took some out of it. But then I noticed when I was doing my photos, the Bellarmine boys were also running earlier in the day too. So hats off to them for running a competitive race and winning that also.
Yeah, again, it is surprising how many of the kids double throughout the day. And granted, it goes, I think Saturday's was over 14 hours or something like that, but you know they're running in all the fast heats, so
yeah, which is at the end, there's not much time. Yeah, well, that was fun. I really enjoyed being there, and I'd never been to the Dublin Distance Fiesta. I was I live in Portland and I couldn't make it there, and I just made it there on right before the big races started happening, and
yeah,
I'm wheeling my camera stuff down the parking lot and I can hear the announcer going crazy, just screaming and yelling, just so awesome. And then I come inside, it's the 800s and kids are trying to break 220, and I'm just like, this is great. What a great experience for all kids. It's such a wonderful experience. And
yeah, it's amazing to see how it's grown, especially in the last couple of years, especially post-COVID. It's really grown.
This year it's on spring break. Maybe Oregon schools will think, well, we have no school, why don't we come on down?
There's been so many Nevada schools that started coming down. And granted, like you noted, this is an early season race. And we talked about in one of our earlier episodes, it's the opportunity for a lot of the kids to hit the Arcadia standard in California.
Last chance.
Well, usually we did find out that this year it is a week later than it usually is. So
right.
The gap between Arcadia and Dublin is 1 week less, but this was the last chance. And I know a couple of, I know one of the Newark girls in the 3200 hit just like barely inched under the Arcadia standard. So it's definitely the event for that.
Yeah. Is she going to go down to Arcadia?
Well, I don't know. We're waiting for the selection committee.
Oh, okay. So even if she makes a standard, it doesn't mean that she's made it. Because
right. Yeah, I was.
Everybody out. Makes a standard, and there's no. That's not the right. standard.
I was walking out with Albert, Coach Albert from Crystal Springs, and he was saying, "Well, now I got to go start doing his Arcadia selection." So.
Wow. Well, Todd, I appreciate you coming on and coming on the pod and talking about the Dublin Distance Fiesta. And what's that?
It was great. Great to see you.
Yeah. And are you going somewhere this weekend to see, or are you taking a break?
No, I think I'm going to take a break. As you can
need
see,
it.
I'm moving in. So I'm going to.
Yeah. You're moving to a new house.
And hopefully finish getting through the 253 races from Dublin.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, look for anybody who's still waiting for their pictures.
Yeah. Hang in there. He'll have them up. He's working on it. So, hey, Todd, you have a great rest of your day and we'll see you next time.
Great. You too, again. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, thank you for watching or listening to our latest episode. I want to thank Ahmed Mohammed for coming on. And also I want to thank Jason Fields from J. Sarah for coming on. And I also want to give a big shout out and thanks to Todd for coming on and doing our recap of the Dublin Distance Fiesta. And the plan for me this weekend is I'm going to fly down to Southern California and take pictures of the 10. I'll be there for the high school portion of the meet also. And I'll have some galleries up shortly afterwards that you can download and repost those photos if you like. And for those of you that were at the Dublin Distance Fiesta, I also have a number of galleries up. My wife came with me, and so she took photos too. And so you might, you know, there's a lot, so it gives you more opportunities maybe for hopefully getting a nice clear picture of yourself. And then Todd took lots of photos, and go to his Instagram account, and on his bio you can link up and see his photos. He's awesome photographer, and he took, you know, photos throughout the Friday and Saturday, so you can check out those photos too. So until next time, West Coast is the best coast.